Many thanks, Peter, for the invitation. This is a presentation of not perhaps a very typical on-farm trials, because on-farm trials, my understanding is more than unreplicated, spread out, trials in a certain region. These on-farm trials in Obregon, Sonora, Mexico, where the wheat program has the main station, are replicated, but are very unbalanced. On-farm trials are very unbalanced and not replicated in one location. I mean, replication is different locations. Here in each, or at least in the on-farm trials I've been analyzing in Africa, they are not replicated. And this is replicated, but many different farmers in different years. Not the same locations or environments in different years. So that makes the data set unbalanced. So I like to do a brief history on the G by E models. We work on genotype by environment interaction models for several years. And we came from the fixed effect model to random effect model. And then I will explain a little bit why on-farm trials in wheat breeding in the Yaqui Valley of Sonora, and then multi-environment trials data and statistical analysis. I'll show the models that we use, and then results and conclusions. So, if you read the Fisher and McKenzie 1923, you see that already Fisher talk about a multiplicative operator for assessing genotype by environment interaction. Multiplicative operator is just the phenotypes is the result of a specific genotypic response in a specific environment, right? And what it is proposed and has been proposed historically in G by E is just to use a multiplicative operator that will represent the pointer is not pointing, but doesn't matter. It represents the effect of the It represents the effect of the genotypes, which is reflected in a non-additivity or non-separativity or separability of the effect from the environment. So it's not that you find a linear trend. Additive trend is something that is not linear, it usually is multiplicative. And this is what, if you read McKenzie and Fisher and McKenzie, or McKenzie and Fisher, you see that that they talk about this. In multi-environment trials, separability does not exist. I mean, in multi-environment trials, if you have two sites and two genotypes, you don't find straight lines. You find something going up and down. There is a lot of crossover interaction. There is no additivity most of the time. So this is more or less the history. This is the base model. We have the effect of the ith genotype on the jth environment. This is a mean. This is the effect of the genotype, the effect of the environment, and the genotype by environment interaction. This model, as it is completely irrelevant. Doesn't say anything about nothing. It's just the G by E is significant. Yes, it is significant most of the time. So we need to do something else to analyze this multiplicative operator for analyzing more the interaction. Now we have this model, which is the typical site regression model that was initially given by Yates and Cochran, 1938, where they say, no, let's use the mean of the sites across, the mean of the genotype across all sites and do a simple regression analysis. And this is stability. And we will measure stability based on that. That was 1938, some years ago. In 1963, 1966, Finley and Wilkinson, Everhart Russell, they said, no, let's add, Everhart Russell said, let's add another stability parameter, which is the deviation from regression, right? And this has been used for so many years until the 90s. In the 90s, Hugh Gout and Richard Sobel, they said, no, we have this additive main effect and multiplicative interaction, which is basically this model here. I'm having trouble to see here. The additive main effect and multiplicative interaction. This is the multiplicative interaction. This is the singular value decomposition. These are the eigenvectors. These are the eigenvalues. These are the eigenvectors that represent the potential of the genotypes or stability of the genotypes and the potential of environments on the gamma sub jk. And this is a singular value decomposition of this matrix, which is the interaction matrix. And there are some other, this is a family of models. You see that you can put the effect of the genotypes into the singular value decomposition, and then you analyze the whole G by E and the effect of the genotype all together in this singular value decomposition here. What's the difference between the two? Okay, then you have this model that is exactly a latent variable. What we do here is just to look for other variables that we haven't seen, but we can estimate them using a random model. The three other models are fixed effect. We work with fixed effect model for G by E for so many years until Hans-Peter Fifo, Alison Smith, and Brian Callis, they develop a random model for G by E. And this is what we call factor analytic model, which is one of the most useful models that we are using at the moment for assessing G by E. So we, at the moment, we are using linear mixed models for assessing G by E. This is a model, this is the effect of the replicates within sites. This is the effect of the genotype within site. The effect of the genotype within site has the main effect of the genotype and the main effect of the G by E, or the interaction effect. This is important because by doing this model of genotype within site, the model becomes much more parsimonious, less number of parameters to estimate. If you have a large number of sites, you can sometimes, and if the data is unbalanced, you cannot get conversions in ASRM. So this is a linear model setup framework. We work at the moment with most of the multi-environment trials, and this is based in this very simple framework or concept of separability. You know, if you have separability, then you have a flexible framework for modeling variance covariance structure. Did you see the cursor? I don't see it. Oh, here, okay. So, if the random term in the model, in the mixed model, is indexed by two factors, genotypes and environment, then you might assume that you have a separability. And if the rows means the genotype and the column the environment, then you have two factors at different levels. And you can use this, if they are separable, then you can use this, which is a Kronecker product. You have two matrices, so you take one value of this matrix and you multiply this. Of course, when you do this, this matrix becomes really high dimensional because it will have as many dimensions as environments and genotypes. But this is the Kronecker product, is a very useful statistical tool for assessing G by E, and we will see that. So this is the model. This is the random effect model of the genotypes within site. And this is the way we model this genotype within environment. We have the G matrix here. This is the separability or the exchangeability idea that we have, that we use we model the environments and we can model the genotypes. In this particular case, by putting an identity matrix right there, we say that the genotypes are not related. which is not true. The genotypes are related, right? And we use this idea in genomics, actually, because we say, no, here we are not going to use the identity metric. We are going to use the relationship metric. We are going to use the pedigree, what the breeders do, or we will use the markers, the G metrics of the markers, right here. But we are not concerned now with the relationship between the wheat and the durum lines. We are more concerned with modeling the G by E. These are the variances for each of the sites, and this is nothing more than the covariance or correlation between site 1 and site 2. And we model that. Why? Because it might happen that site 1 and site 2 are very correlated. It might happen that site 1 and site 2 are uncorrelated, or they might be negative correlated. So this is what the G by E is created. If you have two sites with zero correlation, there is G by E. If you have two sites with negative correlation, there is G by E. If there are two sites with high correlation, there is no G by E, because all the response of the environment or the genotypes or the treatments are parallel or more or less parallel. Okay? So how to model these metrics? Well, there are many different models for modeling these particular metrics. We use the factor analytic model. Why? Because the factor analytic model is a way to simplify the previous metrics. The previous metric, which is an unstructured, there are so many parameters there. When we use a parsimonious model, like the factor analytic model, then we resume that and we take that unstructured metric and we do a principal component analysis and we get only one or two factors. This is, you have the scores given to the genotypes and the loading given to the environments, and a residual at the end. But you see, but this structure is exactly the same as the one that we use in linear by linear models, but assuming that now the size and the entries are random. And this is an ugly formula for the factor analytic model, this one here. But again, you see, we can use, if we have pedigree, we can use the relationship between the individuals. Here we assume that the individuals are independent of each other. All the entries from durum wheat, the entries from bread wheat, are independent of each other. Which is not true, but we assume that. These are other types of models for model the G metrics. We have here I cannot read this. You can read from there? Yes, I hope so. This is undefined. We don't know if we use a fixed effect model, we don't define G. If we use random effect, this is the way we have. We have a sigma square G, which is the variance of the entries. We might have a diagonal model, which is assuming different variances for each environment. We might have a compound symmetry that is a very simple. Also, there is only one parameter, heterogeneous compound symmetry. There are more parameters, and the factor analytic model. We concentrate in factor analytic model 1 and 2 with two components. Alright? So why on-farm trials in wheat breeding in the Yaqui Valley? Well, because, you know, the Yaqui Valley is a irrigated environment. Has about 230,000 hectares, and they represent so many other environments that CIMIT work with for irrigated environment for the main breeding program. That in Egypt, in India, and in Pakistan. So the wheat breeding program of CIMIT has been there for more than 50 years, you know, has been there since Norman Borlaug was there, and even before. And they have a bred wheat and durum wheat. And the increase, the genetic gain has been remarkable for many, many years, except recently, I don't know how many years ago, but they haven't been able to increase grain yield as much as before. And also, they have the problem that they don't see the yield that they gain in the experimental station, which is right there on the valley, they don't see that that increased yield is reflected on the farmer's field. So they say, well, let's do something. Let's go and plant in some farmers across the valley, some plant the latest lines that we have and see how they perform and see if we can examine some of the factors, irrigation, agronomic factors that some of the farmers have there to see if our varieties are not responding well to those. So that's the reason why they have on-farm trials in the Yaqui Valley. So they set up experiments there in a replicated trial, but in on-farmer fields and under their own agronomic practices. Irrigated, not irrigated, nitrogen, no nitrogen. In this particular case, we don't have nitrogen. And they put bread wheat and durum wheat entries. And they have this for three cycles, at least this data is for three cycles, 3 years, you know, 12, 13, 13, 14, 15, 16. And they put about between 10 and 16 bread wheat lines and durum wheat lines. Three or four farmers only, at different places of the Yaqui Valley, under full irrigation or reduced irrigation. And some farmers, they put the trials in two different places. The farmers, the size of the farmers may change from 5 hectares to 20 up to 30. So this is the data that I'll analyze and show the results using the factor analytic model for assessing genotype by environment interaction. These are the genetic correlations. So these are the results. I show the results now. These are the genetic correlations among environments in each of the year. You see, this is farmer one under full irrigation in one plot, in one section of his farmer. B, I put B, doesn't matter. I put B or A. There are two places. This is one farmer. This is farmer two, which is fully irrigated. This is farmer three, which is fully irrigated. This is farmer one, which is reduced irrigated in the plot A, and farmer one, full reduced irrigated in farmer B. And these are the correlation, genetic correlation between the environments for year 2012, are these here. You see that the correlations for this particular environment is highly correlated with all the others, whereas this one here, and I put a note here, this one here, the farmer one reduced irrigation in their plot B is not highly correlated with the other one. It's 0.3, 0.3, 0.3, 0.3. For year 13-14, you see that there is one farmer here, which is farmer two, under full irrigation, that has a negative correlation with the others. So if you remember this number here, or the way I nominate the environment, if you remember that, you will not, because I don't remember these names, but you will see now that these are the farmers or the environment that are causing most of the genotype by environment interaction. You see also that in year 16, there is an environment here that is causing some interaction as well. Also, we combine all the environments. For doing the combined analysis, the within site analysis doesn't problem. Everything was balanced. The combined analysis, everything was very unbalanced. There were some environments not participating in some years. There were a lot of varieties. So this is the beauty of the factor analytic model. You can have a large imbalance on the data, and the analysis can be done. And you see from here that there are sites which are negative correlated with the others. You see this environment, this environment, this environment. They are not sites, they are environment, but sometimes they call sites. So to fit a factor analytic model in AS Remen with this imbalance is not that simple, but it will converge. If you put good initial values, it will converge. But you need to be patient, you know. Sometimes one day a Israel will converge, another day will not converge. These are the results. These are the blobs of environments here. These are the loading of the site for factor analytic 1 and factor analytic 2. And this is the variance explained by each of, for each environment on factor analytic 1 and factor analytic 2. You see that most of the environments here, they don't seem to, factor 1 explain most of the variability, so they don't seem to be, they don't seem to be causing a lot of G by E, except for this one here, which was exactly the environment I mentioned before, that is not explaining. So the first component does not explain much of the interaction, which means that this particular site here, factor farmer 1 in reduced irrigation, is causing most of the interaction and is the environment that has the lowest relationship with the others. So this is for this particular year. For the next year, we have exactly the environment on the farmer 2 full irrigation causing most of the interaction and having having this negative loading for the first factor, explaining the first factor explaining only 11% of the interaction. So this is the one causing most of the G by E for this particular year. For this particular year, we have these two environments, F1RA. And you see that this is the factor 1 is playing a very low variance component of the G by E. This is playing something, but not as high as the other. And this is for the combination, for the combined analysis. You see here on the combined analysis that many of the sites, these three sites that were causing interaction in their individual years are also causing most of the interaction when you combine all data. You know, they explain something of the G by E, but not much. You can see this. You can see the same results on the Y plot. If you plot factor 1 and 2, you have the bread wheat and the durum wheat. The durum wheat there on the right. This is the new variety, a stable, high yielding variety, Cirno. Usually the difference between grain yield in durum wheat is higher than bread wheat. This is, they know, the breeders, they know that. But this is, you know, this is a visual representation of what I show on the genetic correlations and on the explanation of the factor analytic 1 and 2. And this is for the other side, for the other year. This is for the other year. You see that when you combine the data, there are these three sites or environments here. They are the ones that were causing most of the interaction because they are on the other side of the Y plot. But you see again that you can see this interaction either based on the correlation, on the genetic correlation, based on how much the factor 1 explains the interaction, and also on the Y plot. So I think that the conclusions are the factor analysis offer a powerful tool for analyzing G by E in agriculture in general, in breeding as well as on-farm trials. It's a parsimonious model that can be used with unbalanced data. And it's very useful for finding environment with positive correlation with agronomic treatment or breeding lines. And it's ideal for us, it's ideal to analyze G by E, not only for breeding, but also for agronomy and agriculture in general.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. About 1 minute for a question. Quick question? Okay, he has one question, really quick.
Jose, so what, when you estimate the commonality matrix in the factor, do you have any advice to how to, what's the best process to get that commonality matrix?
The best You mean the common variants?
Yeah.
He's explained those, yeah. I didn't show this, but yeah, but I think that you can use it, and you can get it as an output from ASRML. Sometimes the output of ASRML is a little bit confusing, but you can get it from there. As you can get the variance explained by each of the sites that I show. For that, you might need to have a small R script to get that down. But yeah, but this is important, the communality.
Thank you.
Thank you.